Okay, good morning, everyone. Hope all is well. Today's daf is daf mem hey. So we got seven lines down in mem hey. I'm an aleph. The Gemara on the top of the daf we discussed yesterday that Rav was of the opinion he aligned with Rabbi Yehuda that muksa there is muksa on Shabbos. So again, seven lines down, the last word, or six lines down, the last word. Rav could be Yehuda Srile. Is it really true that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that there is muksa on Shabbos? Didn't they once ask of Rav, Mahu litiltule shraga dechanukasa mekame chavrai b'shabasa? Are you allowed to move the Ner Chanukah in front of chaveirai on Shabbos? So what's that? What is it referring to in front of chaveirai? So Rashi explains here, Rashi says, firstly, shraga dechanukasa, the first narrow line down is acha shikava, after the Chanukah candle goes out, and it's Shabbos. Are you allowed to move that Chanukah candle? Mekami chaveirai. Who's chaveirai? Shlo yiru bechatzer. So they shouldn't see you. It's referring to the chaveirim. These the certain people, individual umas olam that were goes to the Gemara. Rashi says bepirkan deleil daf chaveiz denosa betefach hasamach l'shus rabin v'yadu shehilik boner v'heim gazu shlo lahalik. They made a gzera. You can't light Neretz Chanukah inami, or they made a gzera b'yom chagim on their holiday, Ein Manichin Lidlok or Ela B'Bayis of Avodah Zarah. The only ones who are allowed to light candles are in a place of Avodah Zarah, a house of worship, but not a person's home, not a Jewish home. So one of these two reasons, there goes not to light Neretz Chanukah, either in general not to light Neretz Chanukah, or particularly on their holiday. And what would the halacha be if a Jew lit it anyways, and now went out, and they wanted to make sure they weren't caught, are they allowed to move this or not? Look at Tosas for a second. Tosas writes, Mekami chaveir b'shabasa, shebiyom chag shelahem, lo hayumanichen ner ela b'beis avodah zarah. That's the second Bishan Rashi. That you're only allowed to light a candle in a house of worship, a house of worship for avodah zarah. Umay dik mebayle b'ner Chanukah, tfei b'ner Shabbos. So why is this a shiloh by ner Chanukah? Even by regular Ner Shabbos, you can't light a Ner Shabbos on their holiday. So why? Lav dafka Ner Chanukah. So it says, Tosos, Mishum de litzorech achila hayu manichlem. In the Gzera, they said, when it comes to eating, everyone needs to eat. It was nighttime, you needed to see what you're eating, so you're allowed to light a Ner on your table. But you couldn't light a Ner by your window unless it was the base of Avodah Zarah. And that was the concern. The afagav de b'shas hasakana. Even though it's shas hakana, they allowed people to light the candles on the table. Even though it says b'shas hasakana, that the Gemara says in Daf Chaf Aleph, the menichal shulchan v'daya, we said by near Chanukah, it was a makum sakana. He says, you know what? Don't put it by the window anymore. Don't put it outside anymore. Don't put it near Rosh Hashanah. We said put the Ner Chanukah by your table. So once we're understanding in Tosos that on your table would be allowed according to the Gzera. So Ner Chanukah that we paskin now, place it al Shulchan Avodayo. So why not just place the Ner Chanukah on your table? What's the Chashash anymore if you're placing it on the table? You're allowed to light candles on the table. So it says Tosos, Hacha Mayri im Yara lo Shalonicha al Shulchan. We're talking a situation, let's say the guy didn't put it on his table. I mean, the Gemara said, by Chanukah, B'Shas, Sakana, you can place it on the Shulchan and you're Yotz the Mitzvah. But you don't have to. And if one placed it by the window, he certainly would be Yotz the Mitzvah. He might be getting himself in trouble and it's dangerous to do such a thing. But if one were to light by the candle, the question was, can you then move the Ner Chanukah away from the table after it was extinguished? So this is the question of the Gemara. So again, they asked the question to Rav, back inside, can you move the candles on Shabbos? And Rav responded, Shapir Dami, of course you're allowed to. So clearly Rav does not hold a Rabbi Yehuda. Clearly Rav does not hold a muksa. And the Gemara says, no, Shas Hadchak Shaini. That was a Shas Hadchak. To leave it there was dangerous. So that's dangerous. But if it wasn't Makam Hadchak, it wasn't Shas Hadchak, it certainly would be Aser. Rav would Aser you to move it. He holds a muksa. He passes like Rabbi Yehuda. Is that the halacha? You're allowed to move candles after it went out on Shabbos? Is that really allowed? And Amr Lehu, he said back, Rav says back, no. Even though we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon in general, you could certainly rely on him in Shas HaDechak. In which case, in this situation, although in general we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, we don't hold Rabbi Shimon that there's no muksa. We said there is muksa. But Shas HaDechak, for Makom Sakana, you're allowed to move it and pasuk like Rabbi Shimon and assume it's not muks. So Gemara asks the question: by Minei Reish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan, Chitim Shazar Mekarka. Let's say you have Chitim, you have wheat, and wheat that isn't muksa, and you place it in the ground. The Rashi says you place it in the ground, but it hasn't yet taken root. If it's taken root, so it's certainly part of the ground, then you can't uproot it on Shabbos. It's a violation of kosher. So you have chitim shezarn bekarka, ubeitim shetachas tarnagolas, or an egg that's below a chicken. So maho, what's the din? Mi mal ki lesle Rabbi Yoshua muksha heicha de lo dachim yadayim. Does Rabbi Shimon only say there's a muksa when you didn't push it off, when you didn't dafka push something off and make a muksa? But heicha the chiyah b'dayim is a muksa, but when you proactively had declared something muksa, you took chita and you put it in the ground, you took an egg and you placed it underneath the tarnagolas, so there you docha b'yadayim. In that situation, perhaps Rabbi Shimon would agree there would be muksa. Or perhaps there's no difference across the board. Categorically, Rabbi Shimon says there is no muksa. That's the shaila of the Gemara. And the Gemara says that Amar Lei Ein Muksa Rabbi Shimon Ela Shemen Shebener Bisha Shudolik. The only type of muksa Rabbi Shimon agrees that there is if there's oil in the candle while it's lit. Hold the huksa l'masasa huksa l'isura. That you need two things. You need two factors for something to be muksa. It has to be two, both. It has to be huksa l'mitzvasa and also huksa l'isura. So a ner Shabbos has a mitzvah of ner Shabbos. It also has the muksa l'isur because the ner is currently lit. Anything that only has one without the other would not be muksa. So the case of dacha b'yadayim, of placing the chita on the ground, or the beitza tachas tarnagolas, would not qualify, and therefore it would not be muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, wait a second. But less the huksa l'mitzvasa, he doesn't hold the huksa l'mitzvasa. He only holds when huksa l'mitzvasa is related to davar iser as well. Rashi explains this: huksa l'mitzvasa less le b'tmiya. The k'sal k'daitech shemen shebener dafka kamer. Only when there's oil in the candle is it aser mi demuksa. Why? Dikatarti, because there are two things: there's muksa l'mitzvah and muksa shel shas t'likasa when it's being lit mishum iser kiboy. Ava muksa l'mitzvah greida. If it's only muksa machmas mitzvah alone, lo aser, vafi b'shas mitzvah. So does that really, do we really hold, that Rabbi Shimon really holds, that when something's only muksa machmas mitzvah, it's not muksa? So back in Sotah Gemara, now, v'hatanya, doesn't the Braisa clearly tell us? Sicha kilchasa, you cover your sukkah with a proper schach, v'itra b'krumim, and you decorate it with krumim, which are a nice colored piece of cloth, v'sadinin ham'siyarim, and some nice artistic work on the cloths, you hang all types of different, I don't know, nuts and fruit and grapes. You make them very nice. Also, this topic behem ad matzayam t'va'achron. The din is they're not allowed to take any fruit off on Sukkot, even on Chol HaMoed, you can't eat from it until the last day of Yom Tov Achron, which is after Shmiat Teres is all over. And the Brisa says, "Im hisna aleh na kol ufitano." And if you make a stipulation, everything goes according to the stipulation. I mean, if you want it to be only for 3 days or 4 days, and you could eat from it, that would work. But Stam Das would be its aser the entire week. And the Rashi just explains here: Ad Matzah Yom Tov Achron, v'hacha muksel mitzvahika. Muksa iser leka. Here's only a case where there's only muksa machmas mitzvah because of the sukkah, because of the schach. But there's no iser because the e mishum stiras oel. If it's because you're maybe taking down an oel, a tent, a building on Shabbos and Yandiv, well, so that makes sense for Yandiv. But kimate chalamoed, says Rashi, lishtari dumi diner shikava. Then when chalamoed comes, you should be allowed to take it down because no iser stira on chalamoed. Now, just as an aside, there might be Chol HaMoed, you can't do melacha as well. Certain melachas are prohibited. Certain types of buildings and certain types of stira are prohibited. But if it's not a binyan shel uman, it's allowed. So this is certainly taking down fruit, would not consider ma'isa uman, and therefore wouldn't be problem of melacha and Chol HaMoed. So the din should really be that if it's muksa machmas mitzvah isn't aser, you should be able to take the fruit off during Chol HaMoed. It won't be a problem of stira. And the Gemara says, okay, so umimai, back to the Gemara, the Rabbi Shimon he. Who says that this goes like Rabbi Shimon? Maybe this is a braisa like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that muksa machmas mitzvah alone is muksa. Rabbi Shimon would say, you can eat the fruit hanging from the sukkah. So Gemara says, mimai the Rabbi Shimon he. Who says Rabbi Shimon agrees to this braisa? So the Gemara explains, the Tani, Rabbi Chia, Bar Yosef, Kami Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Nolin Eitim Min HaSukkah, B'yamtif, Ela Min HaSamechla. That you can't take any on Yantif, so you're allowed to, you know, add fuel to the fire. You can add wood to the fire. But it's only true on Yantif if the wood is not muksa. If it's muksa, then you can't move it. So the din is, Ein nolin eitim me'asukah b'yamtif ela me'asamachla. Only that which is next to it. So Rashi just points out here, the Tanya b'chir, Ein nolin eitim b'pesach v'atzeres misukah ha'asui letzel. So we think of sukkah as related to sukkah, sukkahs, But you could also have a sukkah in Pesach, you have a sukkah on Shavuot, you have some type of outdoor hut that might not be a halachic sukkah. So you have an outdoor area where you want to sit and eat for Pesach and Shavuot, and there's some wood next to the sukkah, this hut that you have on these Yamim Tovim. So the din is, afilu naflu, says Rashi, afilu naflu misham, muksa, this katoi machmastira, ol biyamtif. That even if it falls off from there, so then it's aser, because it was part of the hut, and then something fell off, that's muksa. But elmina samichla, says Rashi, im samich chavilus etim etel dofne. But let's say it wasn't part of the binyan. It was just some piled up wood next to the binyan, next to the hut. And says Rashi, leka isamuksa. There's no isamuksa. Did I tell you alayu mi esmo? The mishkalenu lamacha de los asabu ahalo. You had a mind to use it. If you have wood that was out in your backyard, in the forest, in the woods, so that wasn't part of your das. But if you have a pile of wood that's next to your hut, not your hut itself, part of your hut itself is muksa if it fell off because it was a steer. But if it was next to the hut outside, the din is you're allowed to take from it. That wasn't muksa. So that's what the Braisa says. And then back inside the Gemara, but Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to, if it fell off, Rashi says, im nafla, if the wood fell off the sukkah, you're allowed to use it for the firewood. The less lay muksa, he doesn't hold a muksa. So now the Gemara explains, the Shavin, they're both in agreement, both Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama here, the Shavin, the sukkos hachad, when it comes to the halachic sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah on sukkis, sukkas hachag, bechag, she asur, there it's asur. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's asur. Why would it be asur? What's different by sukkis? Because it's muksa machbas mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to have a sukkah on sukkis. Then hisna la kolafitanao. And again, if anything, make any stipulation, the stipulation is going to be effective. But without the stipulation, the stamdas is that sukkis, that sukkah on sukkis is muksa. Why is it muksa? Because a muksa machmas mitzvah. So Rabbi Shimon, who is in agreement here, he's shoving, he agrees here. So we see he does hold a muksa machmas mitzvah, even though there is no muksa machmas iser, because even on Chol HaMoed, the implication here is it's aser. So the Gemara says, the Ke'en Shemen Shebener Karmina. It's talking about similar to the oil in the candle. Hol the kuksa mitzvasa huksa l'isura. So what does that mean? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains here that Ke'en Shemen Karmina, v'lo mishum iser, el mishum mitzvah. That the reason why the oil in the candle is aser, not because you have two things. It's not because of muksa machmas mitzvah plus muksa machmas iser. Rather, muksa machmas mitzvah alone is a muksa, even Rabbi Shimon. That's why he says by the Shemen Shebener is aser, and that's why he says the Tzukis, it's aser to take from the fruit. So Rashi explains, the whole huksa the mitzvah of the Shabbos, once it's huksa for the mitzvah on the beginning of Shabbos, huksa the chosman iser delay kasa, it's aser so long as it's lit, held so long as the mitzvah is being fulfilled. Below Yosef, not more than that. The mitzvah is only fulfilled while it's lit. Not because when it's lit there's an iser. It's because when it's lit, the mitzvah is nimsheches. The mitzvah is continuing, explains Rashi. However, mishakava, when the fire goes out, ain bo mitzvah, and therefore the mitzvah is over. So once the mitzvah is over, there's no muksa. Aval basukas hachag, mitzvasa kol shiva. The mitzvah of sukkah is all 7 days long. Continuously. Fuksasa kozman mitzvah. So in fact, Rabbi Shimon does agree by muksa machmas mitzvah, but it's only muksa so long as the mitzvah is continuously being fulfilled. So Gemara now says back inside that Itmar Nami was said as well, Amar Bichi bar Abba, Amar Yochanan ain't muksa, Rabbi Shimon elokein shemen shabaner. Shit, only time Rabbi Shimon agrees with muksa is like oil in the candle, which is another way of saying huksa mitzvah. So, b'shah shu dolek while it's being lit, while whole huksa mitzvah, so since it was designated for the purpose of a mitzvah, huksa lisur, you can't use it until the mitzvah is over. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ein muksa Rabbi Shimon ela gro gros b'tzimukim b'lvan. He says that the only time Rabbi Shimon holds of muksa is grogros, which are dried figs, and tzimukim, which are dried grapes, raisins. That's the only time one says it's going to be aser. So Rashi, look at Tosis just for a second. Why? What's unique about these things? So Rashi, Tosis explains here, ela begrogros v'tzimukim, b'yushalmi b'farish, shemasrichen b'ein time. They get very bad in between. Why place them on the roof to dry up? Kevin shemis kalkulim kokach, they get so bad, ein daitel lekachtem adshis taknu hetev. No one has any das to eat from them until they get completely fixed. So these are very unique that they get very, very bad during the process while they are being dried. So the Gemara says, so midi achrini lo, but there are no other instances where Rabbi Shimon agrees to muksa. V'hatanya doesn't the Braisa teach us in the Maseches Beitza, haya ocha b'teinim v'hosir, you guys eating figs, has some leftover, v'helon l'gag, lasses mem grogos, he puts them on the rooftop to make dried figs, or banavim, he's eating grapes v'hosir, he has some leftover, helon l'gag, he puts them on the rooftop, lasses mem tzimukim, to make some dried grapes, raisins, lo yocha al shiyazmin, he shouldn't eat them until he's masmin them, until he designates them as being no longer muksa. And not only those two examples, but the Gemara extends this. V'chein ata omer v'afrasakin v'chavushim. When it comes to, what are these, peaches and quinces. So these things, when you take them to rooftop as well, v'afrasakin v'chavushim, ushar kol mine pears and other types of fruit as well, they're also subject to muksa. So who authored the Braisa? Money. If you're going to tell me who authored the Braisa, it's going to be the sheet of the opinion of Ilam Rabbi Yehudahi. Ma hecha de lo dachi b'daim isle muksa. Hecha de dachi b'daim lo kolshkin. Rabbi Yehuda holds a muksa, he's a much more expansive definition of muksa. He applies many, many more dinim than muksa. So if he allows muksa to be relevant, even if a person didn't docha b'daim, even though a person didn't push away an object, it's still muksa. So certainly, when a person went to the rooftop and left some fruit, certainly where he's docha b'daim, that is muksa, this wouldn't be needed to teach me Rabbi Yehuda. It's so obvious that this is muksa for Rabbi Yehuda. Ella must be la Rabbi Shimoni. And we see here that Rabbi Shimon does say that there are other instances of muksa outside the case of grogros and tzimukim. This is against Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no. Liolim Rabbi Yehuda. Really, this is Rabbi Yehuda. V'ocha itzrich. We need to learn the chiddush about eating. What does that mean? I would have thought, came into ka'achal ve'azil lowly by hazmana. Since these things are being eaten, you wouldn't require hazmana. Since these things are edible, they're edible beforehand, they're going to be edible afterwards, maybe you don't even need a hazmana. In this case, maybe Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't think there's muksa. K'mashmalan kevin de'hel on l'gag, since once you put the grapes, the peaches, and anything else on the rooftop, asuchei asle da'ita minayu, a person is mesiach da'ita from it, and therefore you would have to redesignate these fruit after they've come back into a state of edibility. The last line of the Gemara now, before we turn the page, bai minei Rabbi Shimon var Rebbe mei Rebbe. They ask the following question from Rebbe. It says, Patsile tamara Rabbi Shimon mahu. What's psile tamara? It's unripe grapes. If you look at Rashi, patsile tamara is tamar mahanil kotim kodem bishulam. That dates that were taken before it was ripe. The kontin osam bisalam, you place them in the baskets. Sheosin milulavayim, they were made fashioned from tanda balulav branch. Pain mispashos mealeim, and they end up ripening on their own. It's kind of like putting like avocado in a brown bag where it helps it ripen, supposedly. So this as well helps it ripen. Mahu lechem hem koden bishulam, are you allowed to eat them before they've been ripe? So it says Rashi, mi mo de ben de muksos hein, could grogos vitzimukum alo. In this case, would Rabbi Shimon agree that this would be similar? By putting it in the bag, but since they're not ready yet, that's like placing tzimukim or grapes and figs on the rooftop until they get better. So Amalei ein muksos, Rabbi Shimon ela grogos vitzimukum bavan. He reemphasizes that the only instance Rabbi Shimon agrees to muksa is when it comes to grogos vitzimukim and no other areas. You have to have two elements. Says Rashi, el begrogos v'tzimukim, dikatarti. You have two things. Didachinu b'yadayim v'lochazu. That you had dachinu b'yadayim, you pushed it off with your hands, and also it wasn't fit for use. As opposed to dates, as opposed to dapes, which a person were, no one was docha b'yadayim, you didn't put them on the rooftop, putting them in a bag, in a basket rather, is not docha b'yadayim. Docha b'yadayim, it means when you put it on the rooftop, that means docha b'yadayim. But in a bag alone, that's not docha b'yadayim. And therefore, unless you have those two elements where it's both not edible, and also your docha b'yadayim, anything short of that will not be muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara says, Rebbe lesle muksa. Now this last question was posed to Rebbe, and Rebbe said, Rabbi Shimon only holds a muksa in those two cases. So does this mean in general, Rebbe lesle muksa, Rebbe doesn't hold a muksa, he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no muksa in almost every case? V'hatzan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us, it's the Mishnah in Maseches Beitz as well. Ein mashkin v'shochten is a midbarios. They used to, before they shecht the animal, there's in to have them drink something, and it helps it skin the animal better after you shecht it. So the din is ein mashkin v'shochten is a midbarios. You can't give to drink and shecht the midbarios, which are wild animals. Aval mashkin v'shochten is baitos. But baitos are considered animals that are domesticated. So that's, since midbarios are muksa, they're lava, they're non your das, you can't shecht them on yontif. But again, baitos are domesticated, they are on your das, you can't shecht them on yontif. V'tani, the Braita says, Eiluhin midbarios, what's midbarios? What's called a wild animal? So kol shiyotas b'pesach v'nechnasas b'ruvia, any animal that leaves Pesach time, they go out for the summer, and a few months later they return back for the first rain of the season around Sukkot time. That's a wild animal. However, baitis is called shiotis viros chutz l'tchum ubos v'lanos b'socha tchum. These are animals that leave during the daytime. They go out and outside the tchum to go find some food, but they return back each night. That's called a domesticated animal. That is not muksa. Comes along Rebbe Omer elu ve'elu baitos, and both of those instances are considered domesticated animals. Even the animals that come back after 6 months, those are considered domesticated. They know their way around. They have a certain home. Even though they take a long summer break, those are considered baitis. Ve'ilayin midbar. That's what's called midbar. That's what's called the animals that hang out in the desert. Kol shiros ba'afar ve'nichnasos liyushuv lo b'mosachama lo b'mosachshaman. These are animals that go out and graze the fields and never return back home at all. Not in the summer, not in the winter. So we see that Rebbe's definition is that he holds, that he does not hold he does hold a muksa. That he agrees by the case of Midbaros that to never come back home, there is muksa. So this is an instance where there is muksa according to Rabbi. So how could he hold like Rabbi Shimon above? So the Gemara answers, Ebais Ema Harinami Kigrogos Vitzimukim Damia. No! Just like we said that Rabbi Shimon holds that Tzimukim, the Grogos, dried figs and dried grapes, raisins, are subject to muksa, these animals that go out and never come back are like that case. It's kind of Dacha B'Yadayim. Rashi explains what's the connection. These animals that never return back, nami kigrogos dami, why are they similar to dry figs? They're like they're pushed off yadayim, and they're very hard to come back. They're very hard to bring back, and therefore it's considered dachav yadayim, and not bedas and lo chazil, and therefore they're like grogos v'tzimuk. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests, ibayisema, ema ledivar of the Rebbe Shimon kamar lei v'lei lo svirle. When he answered the question above about the unripe dates, he was just answering because he was asking what Rabbi Shimon passed like. He wasn't giving his own position, he was giving the position of Rabbi Shimon. But he himself does in fact hold a muksa like the case of Midbarios. Ibaiseima, yet a third answer the Gemara suggests, the Divreyam Dirabanan Kamarlu. He was saying according to the words of Chachamim. In other words, Lididi, according to me, Rabbi says, less than muksa klal. I don't hold a muksa. I hold like Rabbi Shimon. But Lididchu, Rabbanan, you who hold a muksa, Oldi limias, you should at least agree to me. The hecha the yotzes bepesach v'nechnasas b'rivia the bison. You should at least agree in terms of the definition of what's a domesticated animal. An animal that leaves for the summer and returns back for the winter, that should be a domesticated animal. That's what he's describing in terms of definitions. Rabbanan respond back, Amrulei lo midbaros nino. Those are not, those are actually called midbaros nino. Those are considered wild animals and would be considered muksa. So these are three different answers suggested by the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, before Gavaita actually, not yet. So Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Halacha, Rabbi Shimon. Pascha like Rabbi Shimon. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how could this Rabbi Yochanan really say we pascha like Rabbi Shimon? A certain elderly man from Kruya, Amrile Sri, others say a different place, asked me Rabbi Yochanan, Kina Shatarna Golas Mal Tetule Vishamas. Are you allowed to move a chicken coop on Shabbos? Is it muksa or not? So Amrile, Klum Osar Ella the Tarna Golas. Is it any purpose of it other than for the chicken itself? And the fact that there's no purpose other than the chicken, it's a problem to move it. It's muksa. Rashi explains here. Ela l'tarnagolus, helkach, havle m'lachto l'isr v'asr, alma islam muksa. So Rabbi Yochanan here says it's asr to move the karnash al tarnagolus because of muksa. So how could Rabbi Shimon, how could Rabbi Yochanan earlier say we pasuk like Rabbi Shimon that there is no muksa? So the Gemara says, no, hacha b'mayaskin, what's the case here? The isbe efroach meis, where there's a dead bird in this, a dead little chick, and Rashi explains here, this be efrach meis, the lo chazi le mechal, it's not chazi to eat, u le klovim nami lo chazi, and the dogs won't eat it either, so that therefore, it's muk, so it would be similar to grogros v'tzimukim, that even Rabbi Shimon would agree, this too would be similar to that, where it's not roi for anything. So Gemara then says, hanich lemar bar, amar, the mishrei d'amar, modir ayur Shimon b'bali chayim shemeis v'shasrum, this all makes sense, if Rabbi Shimon we hold in general, the Rabbi Shimon agrees that a dead animal is subject to muksa. So since there's an afroach meis here, a dead chick, this would be muksa, and that's why you can't use the kanasha tanagolas. Ela lamar breder of Yosef mishmei the Rav the Amar chalak hayar Rabbi Shimon afil ba'al chayim shemesu shein mutarim ma'ik lemeimer. But according to those who think Rabbi Shimon thinks that Rabbi Shimon argues even by a dead animal that a dead animal isn't muksa, what's the reason why Rabbi Yochanan says it can't move a kanishel tanagolus? Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon, so why can't he move a kanishel tanagolus even if there's an efro achmes ma'ik lemeimer? So the Gemara says hachma askin. What's the case here? B'de'isbe beitza, where there's an egg here. So there's an egg here. So what's the difference of an egg? The Rashi says, shenold hayom, that was born today, and modu Rabbi Shimon benolad, that Rabbi Shimon agrees by nolad, that even though Rabbi Shimon holds there's no muksa, he agrees by nolad. Nolad is more of an iser, something was created that was new, and therefore would be a problem. So then the Gemara says, v'hamar Rav Nachman, this Rav Nachman tell us, man disle muksa isle nolad. The less they muksa, less they nolad. These two things go hand in hand. If you hold a muksa, you hold a nolad. But if you don't hold a muksa, you also don't hold a nolad. So Rabbi Shimon shouldn't agree by a beitza shenolda. That's just like Rabbi Shimon holds his no muksa, he also should hold his no nolad. So Gemara says, no, this be beitzas efroach. There's a beitzas efroach. What that means is, Rashi says, beitzas efroach v'kelev lo achalei mishum klipa. It's a situation where it was a fertilized egg, where there was a chick inside the egg that hadn't yet hatched. So there's a chick there. In that case, even a dog wouldn't eat it because there's a shell that's on there. He wouldn't eat it because of the klipa. And therefore, since it's not roi for a dog, it's not roi for anything, in this case, it's more muksa than we'll be describing before. And even Rabbi Shimon would agree, in this case, it would not be considered it would be considered muksa, even according to Rabbi Shimon, because again, it's an unhatched chick. So, if you look at the side here, they quote from Tosfos Yeshanim, the Kasha, the Efshar Lahasir Klipa, Yochel Nehakelav. It's not that, unfit. Just crack open the egg and let the dog eat the chick. It's not that far removed. So why can't that make it a possibility? So Rav Yasha points out that the Gemara teaches us later on in the Masechta on Daf Kuf Nun Hey that we don't matriach ba'ochel tachidin l'shavya ochel l'behemoth, which means when it comes to preparing food for animals, we don't overextend ourselves, we don't put any tircha to feed animals. We only feed animals food that's already prepared. But food that's not prepared yet, so we don't go out of the way to prepare it for them, so removing the shell from the chick here to feed the dogs would be considered a tircha, and that's why it wouldn't be allowed. That's how Rav Yashiv answers this question. Before we go back to the Gemara, take a look at a very, very interesting Tosas on the side here, Dibur Maskel, Hacha B'mayaskinam. Tosas says, Hacha B'mayaskinam Disbe Efroach Meis. One of the ideas we said earlier in the Gemara was that the reason why you can't use the move, the Kana Akina Shatana Golos, is because there was a dead chick that was there. Perish Harav of Yosef, the low knocking for a chai. Why didn't they say there's a live chick? Because Mishum de chai, chazi, l'shachek botinok kishvoch. That he holds that if a live animal, a live pet, a bird, would a child could play with it. Pets are not muksa. So that's why they dafka chose the case of Ephraach Meis. But Ephraach Chai wouldn't be muksa. Tosis goes on to say, they near it, this doesn't seem to be correct. There's a din later on, we're going to see, we saw actually a couple days ago, that you want to have a chicken to move. We don't have to pick up the chicken, we say you have to place a basket so the chicken could climb on top of the basket. It's mashma that a live animal is in fact muksa. V'od, imichayim shari, if we say a live animal is permitted, amai kamar besomach, v'modir b'shim b'alichayim, shemesh sh'asurim. Elavadai, he says, must be, therefore, b'alichayim muksim heim, Grogos, Vitsimukim, Umaksosam Gam Miklam. So he ends up concluding that live animals are in fact going to be dead. Rather muksa. So this becomes a very, very important machlokas. Are animals, are pets muksa, or are they not muksa? So Tosis 2 days here. One opinion says you're allowed to play, and one says not. So how do we paskin? So it seems the rush is very strong. The rush says that animals are in fact going to be muksa on Shabbos. Pets are muksa. And that seems to be how we paskin. So it becomes a very big issue, people with pets. How do you deal with it? So Rabbi Yashiv points out, even though we paskin that pets and animals are muksa, when it comes to walking animals, that's certainly allowed. Walking animals is not called moving it. Moving it, muksa means you're playing with it, you're holding it, that's muksa. But to attach a leash and have it walk, so that would be fine. Now, there are other issues with the animals on Shabbos. Petting an animal could be a problem. If it goes, catching an animal, bring inside the house, out of the house, closing doors, that could be other problems as well, but this becomes a very, very important discussion about the status of animals on Shabbos. Today's daf in practice on all daf, I spoke about what would happen if a fish jumped out of the tank out of the fish tank. Could you put the fish back in? Carrying and moving a fish would be muksa, but leaving the fish out would be a question of tzar bali chayim. So what would the answer be for that? So either way, when it comes to children, however, the Rav Shlomo Zalman says there is room to be mekel, based on this first answer of Tosos here, that there is room to be mekel that children could play with pets, as long as they don't violate any other Yisurim, because for many things we're very lenient for what the definition of mux is for adults versus children, so there certainly is room to be mekel. A person who is blind and needs a seeing eye dog, that's also, there's what to be mekel with as well there. It happens to be an interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe about bringing animals into a shul. There's a Yushami that says you shouldn't bring animals into the shul, they leave it outside. But if it was needed, the individual needs it to get them around, that Rav Moshe felt that would not be a bizarre to the shul, and one would certainly be allowed. So back inside the Gemara, now the Gemara says, Ki asa Rav Yitzchak, Rabbi of Yosef, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan Halacha, Ki Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar Halacha, Ki Rabbi Shimon. So we have a machlokes, how do we paskin? Do we hold the muksa, or do we not hold the muksa on Shabbos? So Amar Rav Yosef, Hainu Damar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Halacha, Krabi Shimon. Amru Lei, Velo Sfir Lei, and you don't hold of it? Amru Lei Abaye, the Rav Yosef, Vatlo Tisere, the Rav Yochanan, Krabi Yehuda? But do you not hold, Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? So it seems to be a machlokas, what Rabbi Yochanan holds like. Does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Does he pass like Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, Ha Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Asi, Ikle Lebe Rabbi Abba de Min Haifa. And they once visited the house of Rabbi Abba from Haifa. The Nafal Menarta Aglima, Rabbi Asi, Valtiltalim. And the menorah fell on the shirt of Rabbi Asi, and they wouldn't move it. They refused to move it. But so my time, why did they not move it? La Mishin de Rabbi Asi, Tamid de Rabbi Yochanan Hava. Is it not because Rabbi Asi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan Hak Rabbi Yehuda, really? They say Muksa. And for that reason, he wouldn't move the menorah. So, the Gemara says that Amrlei, no, menorah kamris, menorah shiny. You're talking about menorah? Menorah is completely different. The Amr Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, Amr Rabbi Asi, Hora Reish Lakish b'Tzidim, that Reish Lakish paskin once in the city of Tzidim. Menorah Hanila b'yado achas mutlataltala. If it's a menorah that's very small that you could carry with one hand, that's not that heavy, that can be moved. If it requires shtei yadav, two hands, it's too heavy, you need two hands to hold it. Also, talta, that can't be moved. What's the difference? Because there's a din. We're going to see that when something's so heavy, it's kavu makom. That to lift something so high, it's already, there's a certain muks element because you gave it, you know, your couch, your table, it's so heavy, you leave it down, there's a certain place for it. That's called muksa. A different type of muksa, it's kavua makom. So if you could carry with one hand, so that's not kavua makom. If you need two hands, that's considered kviyas makom. That's shita of Reish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, anu ein lanu ela b'ner, we only hold this like a ner, kribi shimon, aval b'norah, bein nitla b'yadu achas, bein nitla b'shei yadav, asil talfala. We only hold by a nair, where he says, a heter moving it, by a candle that's, he passed on Rabbi Shimon, that the candle went out and you can move it. When it comes to a menorah, though, a whole candelabra, there, whether it's one, whether it's two, even there will be considered muksa. So we see from Rabbi Yochanan that in general he doesn't hold a muksa. In general he passed like Rabbi Shimon, but there are some instances like Grogos Vitzimukim and Bal Chaim Shemesu possibly, and by a menorah, these are instances where even Rabbi Shimon would agree it would be muksa. Now before we just finish the daf here, interesting question that Rabbi Yasha points out, even if you assume that there is muksa by the menorah, but when the menorah fell on his shirt, so don't we say when it comes to muksa, you have to move it l'tzarch mekom l'tzarch gufo. So this is certainly l'tzarch mekom, it's on his shirt. So now you need the place of the shirt. So shouldn't you be able to move a mekli shemachtel iser for tzarch mekom? So Rav Yasha points out that this is a bai l'shitasa, because the Gemara, later on in Perek Kol HaKelim, a bai points out that when mekli shemachtel iser, he thinks it's only mutter to move if it's tzarch gufo, but he doesn't allow you to move it l'tzarch mekom. So this is a bai l'shitasa. Now even though we don't pass like a bai, we paskin, you're allowed to move it, bein l'tzarch gufo, bein l'tzarch makomo, but this Gemara is going on libo de abaye, where tzarch makomo isn't allowed, and that's why it has to remain on the shirt, even though it is tzarch makomo. Let's read the last few lines of the Gemara now. So the last three lines, the Gemara says, time am I, what's the reason why we say a menorah can't be moved on Shabbos? Rabbi Yochanan, regardless of the size, Reish Lakish, only if it's heavy enough that you need two hands, so my time am I. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dami Tavaya, both of them hold the Adam Kaveh Lamakum. Since people are Kaveh Lamakum, you give it a certain place for your furniture, for your chair, for your couch, therefore, since it's Kaveh Lamakum, it would be usher to move on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Amar le'Abai, the Rav Yosef, Barei Kilas Chasanim, Dadam Kavei Olamakom, that this Kilas Chasanim, this type of, it was like a canopy, it was called officially a bridal bed, but some have a canopy over the bed, the din is a person's Kavei Olamakom, you have a certain place where you designate. V'Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chia, Kilas Chasanim, the din is Motel and Toso, U'Motel Parko, B'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread it and unspread it, take it down, put it up on Shabbos. So we see even things which are Kavei Olamakom, does not render it necessarily Muksa. So there must be a different reason why you can't use, why you can't move the menorah. And that the Gemara says, we'll stop here. El Amar Abai Bishel Chulius. It's called talking about a candelabra that has sections to it. And Rashi explains here, Bishel Chulius, the menorah Shaprakim. It's made of different pieces, like a kind of Lego. You build them, you take them apart. Shemetipo, perhaps we're concerned if you move it, it might break and fall apart. But this parik, Viach Zirenu Venimsa Oseklin, you're going to rebuild it, and that's going to be a violation of building a binyan on Shabbos. That's why menorah is muksa, but not because it's kavua lo makom. We'll stop here, and mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Everybody, have a wonderful day.